This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Scoreboard Show. Final score from LP Field in Nashville. The Titans over the Jags 16-14. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, phone lines are open. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of anger, a little bit of frustration, a little bit of maybe promise with what happened at the end. The team fought to the end, had a chance to win on a 55-yard field goal. It was blocked. So a little of all that. Your quarterback had a 300-yard day today. A lot of that was late. Had a bad interception early in the second half. There's a lot of good, a lot of bad in this game, too. And this should be a mixed bag tonight.
You would think so. If you want to find some positives, you're certainly able to find some positives in here. You can look at, you know, the most important thing about the season at this point is clearly the direction Blake Bortles' career goes for the next 10 games and working with that young offense and all those young guys around him. But 10 more games to be played this year. That means, Jaguar fans want as many victories as they can possibly get at this point in time, JP. And here, look, let me give you the reality side of this. Reality side is starting quarterback was out for Tennessee. They just lost their starting strong safety. They're without their left tackle. They're without their starting running back. All these things happening in this game. And you talk about they're close. Well, they're close against a team that was 1-4 coming into this football game and still wasn't good enough on this particular day. I love the fact that they fought to the end. There's no question about that. And they gave themselves a chance. And had they pulled it out, the mood in here while we were watching the game was amazing. It didn't really matter what had transpired in the first 59 minutes of the game. Scobie makes that field goal. All's well for a week, right? But that's the importance of games in the National Football League. It's not a moral victory situation. I get it. The development of some of these young players is starting to show, but ultimately it's still a wins-based business. This is big boy football. They're all getting paid, and right now the Stark record is 0-6.
Yeah, and that was something we started hearing the last week or two, was you heard that word win a lot more than you had around here, even from the head coach, and you knew that was when, okay, this is starting to build a little bit. You got to have some kind of result here, and still hasn't come, so I'm sure it's not over.
What Tennessee is doing right now, they're saying, man, we screwed this up, we won the game. You know what? We made a play at the end and blocked that kick, and that's it. We won the game, so we can build on those mistakes, we can correct those mistakes, but we do it in an atmosphere where, you know what? We came out on top today, and that was good enough for the day. So, you know, you hope for the Jags. Those times are coming shortly. Certainly last year, 0-8. And then they got things turned around to win 4 out of 5 games. You hope and you'd wish that it would start this week, and certainly that opportunity is still there for them to go out and start that winning a little bit earlier than last season. But right now you got a Cleveland team coming in that just toyed with the same Pittsburgh team that came in your house and beat you last week. So, look, I know every week is a different one in the NFL, but right now, look, the Jags are just going to be up against it, and the margin for error is slim. They've got to get more of those game-turning plays to go in their column. Right now, not enough of them are.
This is from the post-game locker room. Mike DiRocco of ESPN tweeting out earlier, Josh Scobie was upset that the K-ball didn't get on the field until late. The play clock was running down. Rhythm of the field goal was off. But and DiRocco goes on to explain that's the official's responsibility there. Scobie wanted him to reset the play clock, and they did to 22 seconds, but he felt like the rhythm was off. Whatever you want to say, in that last instance, you know, still a 55-yard field goal try, no matter rhythm or not rhythm. It's a long way. Scobie's done it before, yes, but you'd like to have been a little bit closer at the end.
You love the fact that you had the opportunity, because it looked like that opportunity had slipped through your fingers several times in that football game. We just saw a few minutes ago Mike Nugent of Cincinnati. Shouldn't make you feel any better, but he missed a 36-yarder that they had lined up right in the middle of the field to win that game with a few seconds left in overtime. It happens, so you can't certainly count on a 55-yarder. You'd like to see it clear the line of scrimmage and see and take your chances, because Scobie definitely has the leg to get it done. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, and outside the Jacksonville area, 800-355-NFL1. Let's get to it here on the Scoreboard Show. Mike Dempsey and J.P. Shadrick here with you as we go up to Brunswick. Let's talk to Nick to lead us off here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good. What's on your mind, man?
Just thinking about that timeout that we lost on the challenge. Looked like a clear down by contact. I mean, how big is that on Gus Bradley to make that challenge and then not be able to run a play towards the end of the game for the closer field goal? I feel like that kind of went hand in hand with, possibly having that low kick and blocked field goal and ultimately a loss.
Oh, no doubt about that.
That's fair.
And Gus Bradley said it in the interview with Jeff Lagerman that he took responsibility for two bad challenges today. And, I think that the second one you had more of an argument. Maybe it's close and you got to at least give it a shot. But the first one, I think it was clear on replay that it wasn't going to be overturned. I think the question will be for Gus on Monday, what is the system for challenges? Is there somebody upstairs? How does that get corrected? Who actually tells you to make the call? Because I'm pretty sure it's not just Gus making that call. Obviously, it's him throwing the flag and making the call at the end. He's got to be the one that decides, yes, we should, yes, we shouldn't, feel the game and all that. But there's some kind of system in place.
And it's not just that play. There are probably a half dozen plays. You point to any one of them. Yeah, Blake Bortles interception. They're already at the 29-yard line, well within Scobie's field goal range. We're discussing it here amongst everybody watching the game. You run a draw play there. I'm not saying that's the right play, but if you pick up 5 yards, it's automatic within Scobie's range. Now, whether he hits it or not, you never know, but you got the Cecil Shorts turnover. You have the failure to jump on a live ball when Will Blackman came in and made a nice play and, yep. You know, returned to the scene of the crime last year when they had the quadfecta. You know, and you could have had an equally impactful play in this game. So you make any one of those plays, you don't make an erroneous challenge. Any one of these things could be the one that ultimately gives you that opportunity to have that one more chance, maybe a few more seconds on the clock, maybe a more beneficial field position. Speaking of field position, JP, mm-hmm. Jags today, they ran 75 plays, didn't start a drive outside their own 20 all day long. So they're having to string it together over and over and over all game long, and that's a lot to ask for a team playing this many young guys on one side of the football. Nick, we thank you for the call. Let's go out.
I only see one 3-and-out all day for this Jaguars team. You know, I mean, one true 3-and-out near the end of the first half. You know, there was the fumble. That was driven down the field a little bit. There was a 4 plays and a punt, but one true 3-and-out today, which is a stark contrast to early in this season.
Honestly, I think most of it's a testament to Blake Bortles because he's throwing into very tight windows all day long. These guys, again, we were marking on it as we watched the game, not a ton of separation, not a lot of guys getting free. Clay Harbor got loose behind the secondary. Blake was able to find him and make that play very early on in the game, flip the field, and put the Jags in position to go up 7-0 in that game. Not enough of that going on. So, yeah, yes, you're right, and that's a credit to the fact that they were able to generate at least one first down. He had a lot of third down plays today, 8 out of 15 on third down for the Jaguars. So that was good, but when you're having to drive 80 yards plus for touchdowns.
If you start that drive on the 35 or 40, then guess what? You go 8 or 9 plays, you're right there knocking
at least
door.
You're knocking in field goal range, and we didn't see enough of that today.
Nope.
All right, let's get back to it. 355 NFL1 out to Tallahassee. Jonathan, next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jonathan, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are y'all doing?
Good.
What's up?
I tell you what, that was a crushing defeat. There were some close calls, and I thought we had one there for a second. I really did. I thought that was going to be our first victory.
Yeah,
I just thought Scobie was going to get it through, but apparently Tennessee came up with a great play and ended up blocking it. I mean, we just got to get the ball up higher. That's all you can say, but we fought our tails off and we just came up a little bit short today.
And that's a feeling that you haven't had around here in a while. You know, I mean, it's this team, yeah, they didn't play great today, but they're right there. They had to make a couple plays at the very end to be right there. They're there. They just didn't prove they could win the game today.
Here's the thing, though. If instead of making just one of those plays, you make 3 or 4 of those plays, maybe you win by a couple of scores, and that's what we see. And right now, the margin for error is just too slim for this football team. We understand all the reasons why, but it doesn't change the fact that You know, when you line up against Cleveland next week, they're not going to count how many rookies you're playing against them. They're just going to say you're 11 versus our 11 at any given time. Whoever scores the most points is going to win the football game. Sounds easy, but nobody's going to give you extra credit for playing all these young guys. It may benefit the team in the long run, but for right now, the reality is you're still climbing up a steep hill.
When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. More of your calls when we come back. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Jags fall in week 6 at Tennessee. 16-14. The Jags are 0-6. And more after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Titans 16, Jaguars 14 in week 6. The Jags fall to 0-6. Titans are 2-4. Scoreboard Show continues. We look at some scores from around the National Football League. The later games all underway, of course. We mentioned earlier the Bengals missed a last-second field goal in overtime. And the final score, Panthers 37, Bengals 37. Nearly halftime in Oakland, the Raiders looking for their first win of the season. Raiders-Chargers all tied at 14 with about a minute left in the first half, and the Raiders are in Chargers territory and trying to drive the ball. Cowboys-Seahawks tied at 10, 2 minutes to go in the first half, 8 minutes left, second quarter in Arizona. Redskins lead the Cardinals 10-7. Bears over the Falcons 10-3, 4 minutes left in the first half. Those are the later scores today. Of course, the score of note for this team, 16-14. Titans over the Jags. A late furious rally falls just a bit short with a blocked field goal to end the Jaguars' chances today.
I'll say this. I needed Fred Taylor today because Fred accentuates the positive. I don't feel great about what happened today. Certainly the result wasn't great, but you know, he did focus on some of the areas where he thinks his team is improving. The only issue I have with that, JP, and I agree, the team over the last couple weeks in particular, the defensive side of the football, Blake Bortles thrown for over 300 yards today, but other teams around the NFL are getting better as the season goes on as well. So it's not just the Jags improving in a vacuum, and I think we're seeing that because the results still not coming through the way we want them to. 355-NFL-1, let's get back out to the west side. Max, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show with JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey. How are you?
Okay, yeah, the Jaguars do lose, but they do not lose decisively, and I really don't know what to make of that situation right now.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's not like they're getting blown out.
That's got to be – it's better than it was the first month of the season.
Yeah, I mean, defense is playing okay. I mean, we talked about that again today. The second half, it's field goal. After a 13-play drive, they stiffen up there and get it's a 21-yard field goal. It's a one-score game, 13-7. Suckup goes for a 42-yard field goal. That's the first two drives of the second half. Then it's three and out, three and out, three and out when they needed it. And the Jags offense just couldn't get anything done. They fumbled it away on the shorts play and then finally got a touchdown late. But I don't know how much more can you ask of the defense right now?
They're playing well.
Yeah, you'd like a turnover or two. Yes, I mean, we talked about that. You'd like a game-changing play or something like that to overcome what the offense can't do right now.
You're going to give up some 20-yard-plus plays. The problem is they're not getting balanced out by their own offense. Yeah. And you hope that you don't get a situation where you start to get frustrated on one side of the football, thinking that we're starting to hold up our end of it and the other side is not. I don't know if that's the case, but I had several – defensive players that decline to talk after the game, maybe that's better. Maybe give them 24 hours to let cooler heads prevail. But let's be honest here. It's not like the defense has been all world all season either. Just because you've picked
that's
up,
true.
You know, Blake Bortles went out there and threw for 336. And tell me the biggest window he had to throw to today, other than the one where he hit Harbor over the top and the defense lost him a little bit. You know, he's fitting it into some tight spots right now. And that's part of the issue that we've talked about. Nothing coming easy for the Jaguars offensively right now. Charlie in Arlington, you are next up on the Scoreboard Show. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Great show tonight. Three things that concern me. I'm not sure what their record will be at the end of the year. The running game needs to improve. But games like this, fans have to understand, games like this in the last 2 minutes are real important to the whole team. Win or lose, It's a great experience because you have to do those two-minute drills. And people and fans have to realize it's super important. Can Borders do that? And looks like he did. Fell short, but the experience is there. And I'll take my comments off the air, and you have a great night.
All right, we appreciate that.
Well, I mean, did he fall short? He got the touchdown with 37 seconds or whatever left, and then they got him down in at least a position to even think about a field goal after the onside kick.
I don't think Blake fell short in the last 2 minutes.
No, I think he did everything he could do.
No, but the team fell short. And ultimately, you know, JP, and I know coaches won't do this because they're more methodical. They're like, hey, we're in this game. We're not going to do anything crazy. But I know myself, I'm sure others watch this game and think, well, once you get into that kind of frenetic pace of we got to go, well, boom, 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 they're moving it down the field. Now, keep it in mind that Tennessee knows they've got a 9-point lead, so they can afford, as long as you're not getting that play over the top, they can afford to give up some yardage. But you almost feel like maybe come out with that two-minute mentality right from the jump to start the second half just to mix something up, you know, because it seemed like that got them all in a rhythm, and they're playing a little bit sharper in those conditions. Let's get one more in.
Yeah,
let's
one go more before to, the break.
Paul on the south side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Good. Fantastic.
Hey, you know, I just want to say I was in the camp of kicking the field goal about a minute before the guys on TV were. Then, of course, we went and scored the touchdown. I'm like, okay, well, I don't mind being wrong. But at the same time, you know, we needed a score and an onside kick, and we got both. I just want to say, hey, credit to the guys today for playing hard. But, you know, we're playing a backup quarterback, you know, backup left tackle for the Titans and everything. You know, this was an opportunity, but at the same time, you know, if we're going to build through the draft, probably a good game to lose.
I don't know about all that. Well, now, I mean, it's a little early for all that, isn't it?
I'm not going to fault the – if he can see some positives there, I'm not going to rip a fan if they can say, you know what, I can see the building blocks that are coming along, and look, let's be honest. You think they're going to win the next 10? I don't, okay? So I don't think they're going to win 9 out of the last 10. I don't think they're making the postseason this year. I'm not ready. You'll live it every single week. I'm not ready to cash in on the season. Trust me. We sit here, we were going nuts with those last few seconds when they're lining up for the field goal. Please end the streak. But if you're a fan and you're just taking the big picture point of view, I'm not saying that I don't think he's rooting for the loss. Paul's rooting for the loss. But I think he's saying, hey, you know what, in the big picture, at least I hope that's the way it takes it, it's not the worst thing in the world if you have your eye on really 2015 and beyond is where you hope this team makes its mark.
I just think it's, what, October 12th?
I hear you.
I don't want to talk about the draft yet.
Oh, I'm not, but from an individual fan's point of view, yeah. if you root for your team and you're proud of the way they played, and at the end of the day you say, you know what, big picture, I'm okay with it, don't root for them to lose. You know, it's way too soon for that. Yeah, there's so much football left to be played. There's so much enjoyment that can be brought from going on a winning streak like they did last year. And, look, no matter where you pick in the draft, guys get busts in the first 5 picks, the 6 through 10. Pick good players wherever your picks end up, and you'll be fine.
Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. When we return, more of your calls. We'll have a scoreboard update as well. Final score 16-14, Titans over the Jags in Week 6. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Hey, Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Titans over the Jags, 16-14. Scoreboard Show continues. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Not as much, at least early in the show, not as much fire as I thought would be coming through these phone calls.
Maybe it's the fact that, you know, first 4 weeks of the season, you're giving up 30-plus every week. Everything looks hopeless, right? There are aspects. The one thing that looks hopeless right now is the running game. But beyond that, you see signs, different areas. You'd like to force more turnovers, certainly. But, you know, that's sometimes they come in bunches and sometimes they don't. But the running game is the one constant that they have not been able to get going in six games so far this year.
Got to have it.
Got to have it.
Your leading rusher today was the quarterback.
And it's one thing if Russell Wilson's running for $1.22 on Monday Night Football, 38 yards from your quarterback is great, but as your leading rusher, not going to get it done. 355-NFL-1, what would the scoreboard show be without a call from Saqib on the south side?
It would be nothing.
Hello, Saqib. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Hey, JP.
Hey, man.
I'm pissed, okay? I'm really mad. The reason why I'm mad is our play calling is horrible. For example, we have third down and 10 or third down and 8, and we go for a five-yard pass. If you trust this kid, if he's your franchise quarterback, you let it go, and you go down the field for a 10, 15-yard pass. Jeff Fish needs to be in trouble, okay? Because I don't see anything from him. His play calling is horrible, and I guarantee you every real Jaguar fan knows that his play calling is horrible, and he needs to go, or he needs to let it go. Let this kid go and let him play. He is our franchise quarterback. I love the kid, but I really see the poise on him. But the Jeff Fish is horrible, and that kick was really, really low. And Josh should know that they're going to come after him with a couple of seconds left. Thank you, guys.
Well, certainly he does know. But, I mean, no kicker is trying to kick it into a range where you can get it blocked. That's another story. I want to hear more from Scobie on the whole timing of the play. The one area I think we really were critiquing on those final couple of drives was the play action. What good was it doing for you? You're giving up a half second when every second is precious in that pocket, and who are you really fooling? Because Tennessee had their ears pinned back. I just didn't understand some of those play fakes to the ball carriers. You're just wasting time. But in terms of JP, I thought they took a few shots downfield, and every time they did, these guys were blanketed. You know, I mean, the margin to fit that ball in is so tight. I didn't think the play calling was super conservative today. Got through for 336 yards. They converted 8 out of 15 third downs today. I would disagree with Saqib.
Saw a lot of screens today just to get something going.
As opposed to running the ball. If you can't run the ball, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get the ball in the hands of those running backs some way where you can get them past the first wave of the defense. So there's some of that. Look, you got the right to feel any way you want about it. I did certainly question the play fakes. What's the point at that point? But I didn't think it was an ultra-conservative game plan. I just, again, they're starting every drive inside their own 20. You're asking them to put together 8, 9, 12 play drives time after time after time.
And it goes back. We go back to it. At some point, they're not rookies anymore. There's 6 rookie starters on offense. And to ask them to go from inside their own 20 every time, you're going to be tired of hearing that, but that it is what it is. I mean, it's a young offense that's trying to find a way.
Saqib, thanks for the call as always. Let's go back to the lines. Kevin is next up in McClenny. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Great, thanks.
I thought Bortles had a great game. And the last caller was bashing Fish for his calls. But Bortles has the full playbook, and he does a great job with that. And, you know, if you look back at the game, there's a lot of plays that everyone can go back and look at themselves. And not only Jacksonville, even the officials. A holding call called from a ref 60 yards downfield. And then the Cecil Shorts, incomplete pass. Fortunately, it was in the last 2 minutes. He called it incomplete from the other side of the field. So, I mean, everyone will look at themselves. I thought it was a great game for Jacksonville, and it was great that Pittsburgh and Cleveland got to beat up on each other today, and I'm looking forward to Cleveland coming down here because I think Jacksonville is going to beat up on them again.
All right, hey, Kevin, we appreciate it.
I'll take the call off the air.
Thank you, buddy. At least with the Cecil Shorts play, got overturned correctly in the Jags' favor. It was a good reception. Look, Blake Bortles, I don't take this the wrong way, because if it weren't for Blake Bortles playing quarterback today, maybe this is not even close to being a game, but one of those third downs where they got aggressive and went downfield, Blake never saw the defender. He broke on the ball. People on Twitter were going crazy about Allen Hurns slipping and falling down. He had no chance on that ball. That one, we all agreed, and maybe the coaching staff will point out something that will correct us on this, but that was on Blake. I mean, he threw a ball that the defender was able to read the whole way, break on, and so instead of getting an automatic 3 points or a shot at an automatic 3 points. You ended up getting a turnover. Took points off the board. So I'm not saying don't take those chances down the field, but be careful what you ask for sometimes, because sometimes when you do that and guys are not getting separation, you're going to have turnovers. You're going to have bad plays like that. So just got to take the bad with the good. Doesn't mean you have to be happy. I get it. Let's go to Brian in Orange Park.
I got nothing for you.
You're
right. I mean, what do you want?
You know, Brian, you're up next here on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
I'm not doing well. How are you?
Well, you know, all things considered, we're surviving.
Hanging in there.
I'm tired of this team ripping my heart out.
What's the most discouraging part for you then?
It's probably the design of the defense. There seems to be something fundamentally wrong when we are consistently letting these guys run free for big catches, 20, 25, 30 yards downfield. I mean, we made Clipboard Jesus look like a Hall of Famer today.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I said this earlier, it was what more could the defense do in the second half? And that's what they could have done better throughout the game, those big chunk plays. And we asked Fred earlier, is it chunk plays or is it penalties in key situations that's worse? And he picked the penalties in the key situations. They're veterans having penalties on third downs and all that. You can't have that. But is he on to something here?
Let's have a little perspective on this.
The
first
chunk
of all,
plays, man, that's a lot.
Chunk plays are an issue. There's no question.
To this, I mean, there's a lot of them.
But let's, again, Charlie Whitehurst, 17 of 28 for 233 yards. He didn't throw a touchdown today. He didn't look like a Hall of Famer. He made some nice plays. The area that they struggled in was they were swarming all around him on four or five occasions when they could have hit him or got him on the ground, and you let him escape. In that regard, you let him extend the play far too many times. I'll agree with that. But it's not like Charlie Whitehurst threw for 370 yards and three touchdowns, and they lit up the scoreboard. Yes, you're giving up some chunk plays. Guess what? It's going to happen with most teams in the National Football League. These guys are good. They're all good. They all get paid to play. The problem is you're not balancing that out with your own chunk plays.
And just like last week, yeah, there were some chunk plays. I think there were five plays last week of 20 or more yards from Pittsburgh, right? Well, none of them were touchdowns. None of these were touchdowns.
Right. I'm not saying you have to be happy, but they recover
after the chunk play and don't let the dam break all the way.
It's the ones that consistently get you, the ones down the seam. I get that, because you could have had a big one. This could have been a lot worse. Yeah. Charlie Whitehurst didn't. Here's the thing. If he was a Hall of Famer, when Jonathan Cyprian comes charging past Delanie Walker towards the line of scrimmage in the first half with his eyes on I don't know what, and Delanie Walker just runs straight past him and Whitehurst throws it 5 yards over his head, well, that's a touchdown if you have a good quarterback in the backfield. You don't. The problem is, JP, it's a whole bunch of different things. You're hitting the seam plays. You're hitting these backs coming out of the backfield, and you're missing tackles. There are too many of them. It wouldn't look so bad if you got a few of your own, though.
We'll take a timeout on the Scoreboard Show. We'll talk field goals for Firehouse. Oh, boy. One of those days today.
Everybody was on the edge of their seat.
I was starving at the end. We'll talk about that when we come back. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
This is the Scoreboard Show, 16-14. Final score, Titans over the Jags in Week 6. The Jags are 0-6. Field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. No subs today.
No subs Scobie today.
Scobie lined up from 55. It was blocked at the end of the game. Might have had a chance for one that was in field goal range, but we talked about it earlier. Unable to get things done. It was a turnover.
Turned it over.
Yeah, turnover ball. And
no opportunity.
It happened, so no field goals for Firehouse today.
And not to harp on one point, because there's so many different areas, and it is interesting that people focus in on whether it be penalties or poor tackling. There's a combination of all these things, not taking enough shots downfield. Sitting in here talking with Fat Tony, who's producing the Scoreboard Show, he brought up the Jordan Todman drop. I mean, you were talking about taking a shot downfield. It's a well-called play by Jed Fish. You got him circling. I don't know if you call it a wheel route or whatever, but he basically comes out of the backfield and goes deep. And Blake Bortles drops it on a freaking dime right between the numbers. And, I mean, people say right between the numbers. Go watch it. It hit dead center between the 3 and the 0 on his chest. Catch the football. See, this is part of the problem. You don't have guys that are getting separation. And on the times you do and the quarterback drops it in your lap, you have to make that play. So that's another case. I'm not singling out Jordan Todman, but that's
Allen Hurns had one in Washington too. Hey, a broken coverage maybe, but still he's wide open.
It's one more example of a play that could have been made for this football team that didn't get made. Let's go to the phones again. 355 NFL 1. John in Keystone Heights up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, John. How are you?
Usually I'm not. And you had another caller say the same thing. I'm usually not calling in being unhappy. I'm unhappy. I'm seeing stuff, and I got a satellite provider that lets me play replay and stuff, so I'm not going into the name of it. But the thing is why is a guy covering a guy, and then he breaks off and lets somebody else, and that's when they're getting the ball? And there's one time there was five guys within 5 yards of a guy, but he was wide open. And one of them was Pulaski. You could see it. And I said to my wife, there's four. And then I got looking and I replayed. I said, there's five guys within 5 yards, but the guy was still wide open. Why aren't they playing a man-to-man? I know this is Gus Bradley's Seattle's defense, but it maybe isn't the defense that these players can play yet. So why don't we do a defense where the guys can play and do something decent to make us not look so bad, because this is what's happening.
All right, thank you for the call, John. First of all, Pulaski's never really been known for his coverage.
Yeah, maybe they should try him out, actually.
Yes, get him on the field more, this Pulaski fella. Obviously, he's talking about Paul Posluszny in this instance. Look, I can't tell you about what the specific coverages are on every play, but I guarantee you around the National Football League, there are times in every game when cornerbacks give guys up to safeties. Now, I can't speak to any specific instance. This is a question better suited for Bob Babich or Gus Bradley himself. But certainly, yeah, there have been issues. It's not perfect. I don't know what we pointed out Cyprian. I don't know if Cyprian thought he was giving up Delanie Walker to somebody. I think he just made a bad read. He's looking in the backfield. He's buying the play fake, and he's coming up trying to make a game-changing hit. And he's letting Delanie Walker just run straight past him and then putting the brakes on and running and trying to catch up. There are mental mistakes being made. There's no question about that. I don't know if you excuse him because he's a young guy. He's in his second year. At some point, you got to make these plays that are out there to be made.
Yeah. That's all I got for you. I mean, you got to make the play. Yeah, you try to make a play and do this and do that. Just goes the wrong way sometimes, I guess.
John, thank you for the call. Understand the frustration. Yeah. Kevin at the beaches up next.
Pulaski guy is going to be
Pulaski
a good one.
Or whatever. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good.
So my big thing is, when is it to the point where we need to stop talking about progress and talk about wins and losses? If you really just come down to it and think about it, we're 4-18 under Gus Bradley and David Caldwell. And in the first, the first couple years with Gene Smith, we were what, 7-9, 8-8, and 8-8. When is it going to, like, in year three, you should be competing for a playoff spot? Do you think this team is a year away from competing for a playoff spot?
Well, does it look like it at this very moment? No, but, is Houston competing for a playoff spot this year? I mean, they're 3-3. They were 2-14 last year. And I understand the circumstances are different. And I'm just making an example. Teams do turn around. We've seen plenty of teams turn around. You saw Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco come in and join 2-4-12 teams and had them both in the playoffs immediately. Now, they probably had better pieces around them. Yeah. The hope is Blake Bortles comes in, and instead of in year one, in year two, if some of these pieces mature with them at the same time, you're going to make a dramatic leap next year. But I think it's fair for any fan, JP, who wants to say, look, I'm not satisfied with just hearing progress, progress, progress. I want to see wins. We follow Twitter during the game, Jaguar Twitter. There are some people that sit there and say, you know what? It's all about Blake Bortles and his development, and I'm happy with that as long as that's happening. And there are others who say, you know what? That's not enough for me. As I pointed out, other teams are going to get better as well around you. I don't think that's – I'm not going to criticize a fan who is saying it's not enough. I need to see some results on the field. But It was only year two of their regime. So if you're unsatisfied with the last year plus, that's your prerogative. But that's where they started. And whether you like it or not, and as a Jag fan, you may have been suffering a lot longer than that. So I get it. But logically, the only thing you can hang on Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell are the last 22 games. But those 22 games have produced four wins, so I get the frustration.
If you don't get on the scoreboard show, you can wait on the fifth quarter show, which is coming up in just a few minutes. Hacker and T-Wig are standing by. 641-1010 is the number there. We'll take a timeout and come back for the final segment of the scoreboard show. Final score 16-14. Titans over the Jaguars. Titans are 2-4. Jags fall to 0-6. We'll wrap it up after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show, the Titans over the Jags in Week 6, 16-14. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. You can buy a single-game pass for the JTA Stadium shuttle service to and from Jags games and easily avoid parking hassles. For locations, prices, and parking lot directions, visit jtafla.com. Of course, the Jags are home Sunday, the next 2 weeks, in fact. The Browns and the Dolphins coming to Everbank Field.
W's. Need them. Need them bad.
I thought you were going to call W's. You said need them after that.
I need them. So. We need them. Jags
yes,
need
everybody
em.
Needs
them. Jag fans need them.
Jags are 0-6.
City of Jacksonville needs them.
I asked Fred Taylor in the pregame show, have you ever been on an 0-5 team? He just couldn't even really answer it. It didn't even make any sense to him. So the answer obviously was no. So for a lot of veterans who've been in the league, this is uncharted water.
Right. Unfortunately, now, there are a few veterans on this team that are seeing that deja vu
yeah,
from last
right.
year.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the frustrating part.
You don't want to, and you want the win for some of these young guys. Don't fall into that mentality and think, "Oh, this is just the way it is." You know, this is the way it's going to be. No, it doesn't have to be that way. Change it and change it quickly. Let's get a call or two in. And if you don't get in right now, 355-NFL-1. You can call 641-1010 and outside the Jacksonville calling area, 904-641-1010 for Hacker and T-Wig on the fifth quarter show coming up in moments. Let's go to Lucas in Gainesville. Hi, Lucas. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm pretty good. Just a couple of things. One, I was really impressed by Red Bryant, pushing a lot of guys around, making some plays by pushing some guys into some guys. I thought that was real nice. Two, both those challenges, really ill-advised. You really got to have someone up in the booth, giving you the right information so that you're not wasting timeouts and challenges. And then also, people say a lot of bad things about the play call, but I like the play to Marquise Lee in particular where they put him in motion and then brought him back the other way. I'm sure you remember the play.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, great play.
Second time I used that, too. Thank you, Lucas. Second time I used that play to pretty good effect this year. And, going to have to get creative right now.
I think the challenges will be a big part of Gus Bradley's press conference tomorrow. He'll have to answer for that and a reason, like, why.
What is the methodology, like you brought up? Right.
What is the system for it?
Are you trying to spy that from the side, or is somebody thinking they had a look at those that indicated that they were going to go in your favor?
Right.
Or you had a reasonable chance. We'll close out with Dino in Bay Meadows. Hi, Dino. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I want to say, I'm very optimistic about what I'm seeing. I know that the line is right now is incohesive because they're young. And two, the problem is that I see that we don't have a wide receiver that can peel the top off a defense with speed. And that's one thing that we're missing, and we've been missing for a long time since Jimmy Smith. And I know that once he fixed the back seven, I think the Jaguars will be fine.
All right, and thank you, Dino. I would think the main point that sticks and reverberates with me is the receiver to take the top off the defense. I'll say this. We don't know if he'll turn out to be that. Marquise Lee, they wanted to ease him back in. As you heard the game broadcast today, Jeff Logman pointed that out. They didn't want to overwork him today. He is the speediest guy in this receiving core, and hopefully he can develop into that. Keep in mind, wide receivers generally take a long time to really hit their stride in the National Football League. He was a high second-round pick. They still have extremely high hopes for him. He hasn't been healthy for an extended stretch of time. He's a young guy. I found it interesting in this regard. When Cecil Shorts lost the fumble, the guy who was trying to calm him down a little bit was Marquise Lee on the sideline. Marquise Lee has had issues at times, you know, just getting frustrated with some of his mistakes. So maybe that's a sign of maturity for him. But I think they still have big hopes that maybe he can develop into that guy.
This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. We'll start with those two guys. It seemed like they came out of the game okay, which is good news. The Shorts and Lee with a hamstring injury. So Geno Hayes left but came back after being evaluated for a concussion. Obviously was not concussed and played later. Alan Ball had that strange collision with Cindric Marks. There were a couple guys down on that play. It was Hayes. That was the same play as Hayes, actually. But from what I understand, he came back. So nothing too bad today in terms of the injury front for this Jaguars team. Okay, the Cleveland Browns come to Everbank Field this week. We're a long way from that game. It's a week away, so there's a lot to be answered tomorrow from Gus Bradley. If you had to pick three things right away that you wanted to hear from the head coach tomorrow, Mike, what do you got?
Certainly the decision, as you've discussed, on the challenges and what's going on with that. What do you – don't give me this, we ran for 80 yards. I don't want to hear that because 38 of it came from the quarterback. What's going on with the tailback position that either is the line not performing? Is it the backs? Because this is six games now. We haven't had one game where you said, aha, maybe they're turning it around. Those would be two things. And then, you know, number three, when you're a play away here and there, but it's happening in so many different guards. We could point to 6 to 10 individual plays that may have turned the course of this game if you hit on a couple of them. How do you fix that when it seems like there's so many little things that are costing you the victory? So it'd be three I would fire at him.
Not sure of a time for that, but when it is announced, it'll be live on Jaguars.com tomorrow. The Gus Bradley press conference the day after is always live. Well done. Hey, this is going to be an interesting week this week. It's 0-6. It is what it is. This is going to be a real interesting one with two home games coming up and then a tough stretch at Cincinnati, in London against Dallas. Next 4 weeks are vital, and we'll see. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Players always say the next one's the most important one. In this case, boy, there's no looking ahead. Cleveland's coming in. They're playing good football right now. They just took apart the team that beat you in your house last week. So there's no looking past them. I'm sure they won't. So, hey, look, it's the NFL. Go out and get a W. Right now, Oakland's on top of San Diego, 21-14. They're winless as well. Go play well next week.
Linda Fortunato screening the calls tonight. Tony Smith is the producer for Mike Dempsey. And for everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for your calls. The final score again, 16-14, the Titans over the Jags. The fifth quarter show, Hacker and T-Wick coming up on Jaguars Radio.